I want to introduce Reverend Sally Bingham. She is a most important person on the Green Front. She's also a friend, I am proud to say. She is the principal author of a book called Love God, Heal Earth, and it's a compilation of some 21 religious thinkers talking about what must be done in order to heed the call on climate change and so many of our other ecological crises. Welcome to On the Green Front, Sally.
Thank you, Betsy. It's a huge pleasure to be with you again. And yes, we are good friends over many years.
We were office mates at one point. We have to have full disclosure there. And that just made me have even more respect for you. Sally, of course, is not only an author and an activist, but she's also the environmental minister for San Francisco's Grace Cathedral. And she has been in the forefront, absolutely, in greening not only the Episcopal faith, but also every other religion, including mine, Judaism. They've already had an impact at our synagogue. We're renovating, and we're making a green renovation, in part because of your influence, Sally. And I got on the building committee and have been a squeaky wheel for about 7 years saying, it's got to be green, if not now, when, if not, you know, here in Marin County, who, and the time is right. And we're doing that. I'm happy to say we're even going to have solar panels.
That's exciting.
Tell us, first of all, with all your activities, how did you find time to put a book together, and what inspired you to do so?
Well, let me back up just slightly to say what I do, because that leads into the reason for the book. I run this program called Interfaith Power and Light, and it's a campaign going on all over the country. When we started, the tagline is a religious response to global warming, and it started out in the Episcopal Church, and then other religion said, well, we want to respond to global warming too. And over the course of the last 10 years, I have met evangelical leaders from Florida and Georgia, and I've met rabbis in Connecticut and Catholic priests in Michigan, and we have programs in all their states, and all these folks are involved with a religious response to global warming, meaning that congregations of all religious faiths need to serve as an example to our communities, examples to their neighborhoods, and show that we can cut our carbon footprint, putting our faith into action. So the book came about because just about a year ago, I got a call from St. Lynn's Press, and they said, is this Sally Bingham? And I said, yes, I've documented all this in the book, how this came about.
There's always a good story behind a good book.
Yeah, and actually it was the publisher himself, a fellow named Paul Kelly, and he said, you're part of this movement with religion and the environment, and we think it ought to be documented. Have you thought about writing a book? And I said, well, I don't have time to write a book. I'm right back to where you started, Betsy. I'm running a campaign. There's no way that I can sit back and just start writing as much as I would love to do it. And they said, well, we'll help you, and we'll get some of these other religious voices involved and put a document together that would really give legitimacy to this whole movement. And it's now. The time is now. You're riding this wave. We don't want to wait 5 years to write this book. So that's kind of how it came about. And I do the opening part, and I talk about how the ministry started and why, what the reasons are for addressing global warming. And then at the very end, after I've read everybody else's essays, I pull it all together and then do the acknowledgments. And so I didn't have to do all the heavy lifting. It was all a group of people who are friends, who are passionately interested in saving creation, and who really are the side benefit of having a religious response to global warming is that it's brought all these religions together. I mean, when the evangelicals and the Mormons and the Jews and the Muslims and Christians are all sitting down together saying, we have some deep theological differences, but on this issue, we can all stand in solidarity. And the book is a testimony to that.
And one of the quotes that I love to repeat is from you, and that's, environmentalism did not begin on Earth Day. It began with creation.
Right, right. And nor is it that the Sierra Club that called the Earth good. It was God who called the Earth good.
Oh, don't tell Carl Pope that. So you also have something called the Regeneration Project. Is
yes.
that part of the Interfaith Power and Light campaign?
Yes. The Regeneration Project is the home of the Interfaith Power and Light campaign.
It's the mothership.
That's right. The Regeneration Project's mission is to deepen the connection between ecology and faith And then we have, within our organization, we are running the Interfaith Power and Light campaign. And someday we may have a different campaign or an additional one that has to do with human health and the environment or water, and it would go under a different name. And that's the reason there's a little confusion there. But right now, Interfaith Power and Light and the Regeneration Project are one and the same thing.
Now, I know you started out changing light bulbs and also preaching what you practice, which was driving a hybrid car yourself. And it was everything from, you know, talking about light bulbs, changing them, solar panels, but also, you know, walking the talk, talking the talk, and it grew from there. You now have some 4,000 congregations involved. Is that correct?
We have over 5,000. We had 4,000 congregations that showed the film An Inconvenient Truth. That was in fall of 2006. Where we allowed for, we had an arrangement with Paramount, and they gave us the film before it was out on DVD, and so people flocked to their parishes.
I can testify to that, because we had about 150 people show up at our synagogue, and I remember being shocked that what these people either haven't seen the movie yet, because it had been out for some time at that point.
It had been in the movie theaters, but it was not out on DVD. It wasn't available at Blockbuster or any place or Netflix or anything like that.
Right, but it was sometime after it had launched in the theater. So I was
impressed
that people either you were giving them an opportunity to see it for the first time, or they wanted to see it again.
Mm-hmm. And they were seeing it for free, and they were seeing it in a safe place. There are lots of folks in our southern programs. They had a difficult time showing a film that had Al Gore in it. A lot of people didn't want to come and see it, but then when they found out that their congregation was showing it and it was free, they flocked off to see it. And we got numerous thank yous that said, I never would have gone to see this, but I did see it in my church and it was free, and thank you. And so I know that it got into an audience that would not have otherwise seen it. But since that time, we've added another, at least maybe more, 1,000 churches. So we're over 5,000 congregations across the country now, and we have a Green Mosque in Washington, and we have a Jain Society. We have a great many synagogues, Betsy, one in Berkeley that we're getting ready to have a tour of. All of our member congregations around the East Bay are invited to go on a tour and see the geothermal system that's in the synagogue over in Berkeley.
Now, you pose a great question. Sorry, go ahead. Want to finish that thought?
Well, I was going to say you might want to even mention it out in Marin to those folks, because they may want to come and see what congregations can do.
Okay, we'll do. But we're also on the World Wide Web, so we don't want to get too local here. But you pose a great question, Sally, with your book. What does it take to power a great awakening about Earth's environmental crisis? And I suppose that was answered in the 20 contributions from the clergy that you included in your book.
I would say it is, yes. And Richard Cizik is a name that a lot of people in the religion and environmental field, they will recognize that name. He has an essay in the book, as does Joel Hunter, who's now on Obama's faith-based initiative advisory team. And so we've got some very important religious voices that are writing. And I think it's a wonderful document that people will look back, you know, 10 years from now and say, these are the folks that really got the religious community involved in this issue, and as they should. I mean, I have always been a believer that if you profess a love for God, you are responsible for protecting God's creation.
In fact, it's pretty fundamental, I guess, pun intended.
Sure.
And it's for everybody. That's the beauty of this, and we all contributed to the problem. It's up to all of us to address it. You must be encouraged by at least the new administration getting climate change as real and talking about renewable energy pretty much every possible opportunity.
I am thrilled. It's one of these times when I can say I think our prayers have been answered.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So
I think Obama does get it.
Are you pleased overall with the progress in the religious community? It sounds like things are really catching hold and just in time. But then again, it is a little bit later than most of us would like to be in terms of the rapidity of the environmental problems mounting up and the domino effect.
Well, it is too bad we didn't start sooner, but it's never too late. And I think we will turn this whole situation around, and I think the faith voice is going to be paramount to making that happen, because it brings in the sort of moral perspective and the value perspective, and I think it's going to be important.
We just have a little less than 2 minutes left, Sally. Just give us some examples, concrete examples, of what churches and synagogues are doing, because of this whole project that you have spearheaded. What kinds of things are you seeing take place?
Well, in Michigan, there's a Catholic church with a solar array attached to a wind turbine, and they're getting their electricity. They're off-grid. As I mentioned earlier, Berkeley has a geothermal system, as does a cathedral in Cleveland, Ohio, has a geothermal system. We have five or six churches, Episcopal churches, that have put solar on their roof. They're all putting in energy-efficient appliances, with which they can buy off our website. For your listeners, we have something called Shop IPL, and you can buy energy-efficient appliances from our website. If you belong to our program, you get a discount. And we've asked that our congregations do put in energy-efficient appliances, do weatherization in their facilities, and cut their carbon footprint,